Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show on this Tuesday morning, the 11th of August, 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes as we run you through everything that's happened in the world of racing and sport in the last 24 hours or so. Let's start with the footy. It was a Monday night doubleheader. Bit of a fizzer, really, in the end. Both games. Geelong, 59-point winners over St Kilda.
His kick is to the hospital. Rowan! Well, he deserves to have the full stop on the game. Tom Hawkins has kicked five, comes in from directly in front, and does exactly that, an emphatic victory for Geelong against St Kilda tonight.
Meanwhile, Fremantle, comfortable 16-point winners over Hawthorn, who only kicked two goals to three-quarter time.
Gunston, and he needs a second. That's a high ball, it's wafting its way towards goal. It crosses the line, but just to behind. But Freo make it two in a row and beat the Hawks for the first time in 6 years tonight by 16 points.
In the A-League last night, it was a 1-1 draw between Brisbane and Sydney FC.
Ivanovic bending it, and Luke Ivanovic is having quite the night, and he caps it with the equaliser.
And after the conclusion of the PGA Championship yesterday, we have a new superstar, Colin Morikawa.
Little tap in, Nick. 64, final round. And a California kid is the new star in the game of golf.
There is a hell of a lot to get through in the next 20 minutes on the Breakfast Bites, so strap yourselves in.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bites.
Don't forget, after 6 this morning, plenty coming up on the Breakfast Club, half Whitey and plenty of big-name guests. Before 7 o'clock, we'll have the early mail for you, and also Jeremy Lowlinger as well with an announcement in the NBL. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Rodney Eid in the coach's corner from 7 this morning. Trent Woodhill, after he left the Melbourne Stars, he was the list manager there, and he's now headed to the BBL as a whole. So we'll have a chat to him about his new role in the world of cricket. Jake Lever from the D's ahead of 8 o'clock. After the 8 o'clock news, Josh Fraser, coach of Northern Bull Ants. Great story. They look like they'll be back in 2021. Rob Wright, coach of the Collingwood Super Netball team. And then Gabby Raffles, Aussie golfer, who came oh so close yesterday to winning her second US amateur in a row. She just missed out, so we'll have a chat to Gabby about what the last couple of holes especially was like yesterday, coming down the stretch after being even all the way through 35 of the 36-hole match play format. After 8.30, Racing Pulse returns with Michael Felgate, and then after 10.30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. Plenty to get through in the world of racing too, so make sure you're listening after 8.30. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy from last night. We'll start with the early game, as it was a pretty comfortable victory for Geelong. They got off to a pretty good start in the first half, leading by 3 goals at halftime, and were never really challenged after they kicked 6 goals to nothing in the third to really put on a blitz. The final score, 49-93, the Cats. The Saints, 4-10-34. Tom Hawkins was the star with 5 goals up forward. Gary Rowan was also very good. And Sam Menegola, 26 possessions and 2 goals. Continued his wonderful form in the midfield. Let's hear from Chris Scott on the four-day break they've got coming up and then a mouth-watering clash against Port Adelaide.
So far, so good. I mean, it's going to be a huge challenge against Port. You know, they deserve their position on the ladder this year. So, we can't sort of sit back and spend too much time on tonight. You know, both as a coaching group and as a playing group, we think. And we've moved on pretty quickly from the last couple of games, and I don't think it'll be a challenge to get ourselves up for it, because you know the opposition's so good, and you know the danger is so clear. So 4 days to recover. I've got to say that you know the shortened games are helping, but there's nothing that I'm seeing that thinks that this sort of model's impossible into the future. Now. Famous last words, we could get a horrible result next week and it'll be because of the 4-day break, I guarantee you. But Now we're optimistic that we're looking after our guys pretty well.
Chris got there speaking last night after a very comfortable victory. Brett Ratton later on in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the second game now. Justin Longmire was very happy after his Dockers recorded what was a comfortable victory, even though the score was pretty tight, only 16 points the final margin. Hawthorn managed only 2 goals to 3 quarter time. By that time, the Dockers had kicked 7, so they were never really in it, the Hawks. The final score, 7-6-48, Fremantle to Hawthorn, 4-8-32. Here's Justin Longmire on the win.
It was really important that we backed up our performance last week. I thought our contest work and pressure, again, was outstanding, and we failed to capitalise on some golden opportunities in front of goal, but overall, it was a good night. 22 players committed to executing their roles, and the contest is clearly a part of that, but I feel like we're playing with good method, which is giving us more opportunity to win the contest, and we're executing in the contest, which is fueling our offence and helping us defend.
More from Justin Longmire later in the breakfast bite, plus some interesting comments from Alistair Clarkson as well. Let's head to tonight's game. Yes, more footy heading your way. Adelaide taking on Collingwood at the Adelaide Oval. This one starting at 6:35. Plenty of changes for both teams. Let's run through them. McPherson, Smith, Hartigan, McAdam and Stengel all come into the lineup for the Crows. Jones has been omitted. Talia managed. Kelly omitted. Murphy suspended and Will Hamill injured. Meanwhile, for the Pies, Chris Mayne, Darcy Cameron, Lyndon Dunn, Rupert Wills, Tim Broomhead and Travis Varko all come into the team. Out goes Treloar, Reid, Moore, Quainer, Elliot and Hoskin Elliot. So plenty of changes at the Pies. Tom Lynch will play his 150th game. Let's hear from Taylor Adams, who spoke about the games ahead. They've got a few coming up in quick succession, the Pies.
Yeah, the wins become really important. You know, we've probably dropped a couple of games that we would have liked to have won. Would have been nice to go over to Perth and perform a little bit better in those last two games. So, yeah, we've obviously... We've reviewed our last month really strongly. We played a little bit better against Sydney and we're looking to do the same against Adelaide. We've got a really tough day tomorrow. We fly out of Queensland and play tomorrow night and against a team that haven't won a game this year and will be extremely hungry. So, and they're on their own deck in front of their own crowd and they're playing a pretty solid brand of footy. So, yeah, we expect tomorrow night to be a really fierce contest and... as I said, the 4 points are absolutely vital at this time of year.
Pretty solid brand of footy. Obviously, Taylor hadn't done the opposition analysis by then. They've been stinking it up, Adelaide, for much of the year. Have a listen to Matthew Nix here, who you got to feel sorry for him. He is desperate for a win in his first season as coach.
It's hard. It's tough because I want to get a win for the boys. I want them to get some reward for the effort they're putting out there. For the development we're seeing in our group, you just want that outcome, but you can't live in outcomes. You've got to live in the process, and we're in that at the moment. We're about improving and getting better. But as a coach, ultimately I want to see our guys be able to celebrate after a game and sing the club song. It'll be great for everyone involved because we've got staff that are working hard. Everyone's working overtime at the moment because of the environment, because of the... some of the protocols we're under, it's a tough time for everyone, but we're sticking tight.
Let's finish with Matthew Nix. Obviously, over the weekend, there was some footage that emerged of the way that Adelaide targeted Max Gawn. Matthew Nix says that they weren't really aware of the injury.
It's interesting going behind the goals. We actually didn't know Gawn was injured. We had no knowledge of that at all. We came into the game knowing that Gawn's a very good player. And Melbourne had done a lot of work over the last month and probably for a number of years, but we studied there last month and they'd done a lot of blocking off ball for him and freeing him up. And so we went in with the mindset of not allowing that.
Matthew Nix speaking there yesterday. More footy to come later in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the A-League from last night. Just the one game. It was a 1-1 draw between Sydney FC and Brisbane. Brisbane have cemented their spot in the finals already. Warren Moon, their coach here, speaking after the draw.
Yeah, we went into tonight's game knowing finals were secured. But for us, it was about progressing as a side, what we're trying to do, and the performance. And we certainly got that tonight from everyone that played their part.
Yeah, Jamie Young in goals was magnificent for the Brisbane Roar. Six shots on target for Sydney FC, and he only let one through. He was outstanding. Meanwhile, Steve Corica, just another stumble for the Sky Blues. They've really had their momentum halted by the COVID-19 stand down. Let's have a listen to the Sky Blues coach on their form, and also Jamie Young, who had a magnificent night in between the sticks.
Yeah, I think he, if you look at his performance this today, I think last week as well, he pulled off some very good saves. So he kept them in the game, unfortunately for us. But a lot better second half from us again. We dominated the second half. It was very difficult conditions out there tonight with the wind, against the wind. It was pretty tough to get out of that first half for us.
So 1-1 the final score between Sydney FC and Brisbane. Meanwhile, the fixtures roll around. Tonight, we've got Melbourne City taking on Adelaide United. Eric Mombert, the Melbourne City coach, has to try and find a replacement for our very own Scott Jamieson, who's come home for the birth of his child. So good luck to Scott and his partner from all of us at RSN. But here's Eric Mombert on who might be his replacement.
Yes, we have everybody fit, yeah. We have done a good training session also, and yes, Rustin has joined us only for the two last sessions. So we have two options. Scotty Galloway or Nathaniel Atkinson. So we have practiced with these two options. So we'll decide today we can start, but we have two options. We have anticipated a long time that Jamo will be, as Jamo has to leave. So we're not surprised.
So 10 points, the gap between Melbourne City and Sydney FC. They can close within 7 with just one game remaining after tonight's fixture, and hopefully secure that top two position, which gives them a second chance in the finals run. So good luck to Melbourne City, and even better luck to Scotty Jamieson over the next couple of days. Let's head now to the highlight from yesterday, Colin Morikawa. Wasn't he magnificent in the US PGA Championship? Always fantastic to get a new major winner in the world of golf, but this man has started his professional career like few others, with a couple of victories and now a major championship at the age of 23, a 6-under final round to finish at 13-under the card. He beat Dustin Johnson and Paul Casey, who were in a tie for second at 11-under. Scott Scheffler, Tony Finau, Matt Wolff and Bryson DeChambeau joined our very own Jason Day in a tie for fourth at 10-under the card. Looked like he was lurking, Jason Day, but Morikawa was too good in the end. Let's hear from our newest major champion in the world of golf.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I'm on cloud nine. I don't know about you guys, but... But yeah, you know, I've believed in myself since day one, and I've said it. When we sat down, I specifically remember at Travelers, the four of us, me, Wolf, Victor, and Justin Suh, and I just told everyone, you know, all four of us, and obviously we've all had some pretty good paths, Justin struggling a little bit, but we all believed since day one that we can do this. And, you know, I haven't let up from that. I feel very comfortable in this position, but it was going to take a very, very good round today. And I knew with the leaderboard, the way it was looking, and everyone out there, you just had to play well. You know, it's you either win or you lose. And, you know, I got off to a little shaky start, made the putt on one, and, you know, went full steam ahead there.
He sure did. Very happy man yesterday, Colin Morikawa, except for dropping the lid off the PGA Championship trophy, which is one of the biggest trophies in world sport. But if you needed to sum up 2020, that was about it. Before we hit the ad break, let's head to the NRL. Fascinating situation brewing in their game, with Peter Volandis not a happy man yesterday after so many breaches over the last week or so. It makes you wonder how many breaches they've actually had that haven't been caught out for the last 3 months. Let's hear from the chairman of the NRL on the breaches and him getting tough in the coming weeks in terms of penalties.
It's extremely disappointing because they're putting at risk not their own income, but the income of a lot of people in the game. And not only putting their incomes now, but for the future, for the next 2 to 3 years and probably generations. Because if our game stops, we will need to borrow monies, and those monies will have to be repaid at some point. And that means you're taking future income to pay it. So I can't stress how important it is that the game sees this year out financially and viably. But can I say this, that the majority of players are doing the right thing. You know, they are following the protocols, they are conscientious, they're professional. You have 1% that aren't. And that 1% can bring the whole game down. And that's the unfortunate thing about it, because it's all about credibility with government. The government supports us because we've introduced these protocols, we've had the highest biosecurity measures in place, and if people breach them, it destroys our credibility with government. So, you know, in Queensland we have a special exemption that could be withdrawn on any day if someone continues to do the wrong thing. And as Andrew said, we will increase financial penalties to act as a deterrent, because these people are being selfish. They're not considering all the players and all the officials and every other person that relies on an income from the game. And, you know, we need to weed them out, unfortunately.
Peter Valandis was not a happy man yesterday at his press conference. It's getting a bit serious, that situation in the NRL, and he's trying to tighten the rules so that there are no breaches in the future whatsoever, putting the competition at risk.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to the show. Still plenty to come over the next 10 minutes or so. Don't forget the Breakfast Club coming up after 6, and then after 8:30 Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate and Gareth Hall to lead you through the morning with RSN Central from 10:30. Let's start, though, with the news from overseas yesterday. Some fascinating stuff in the baseball. This was the all-in brawl between the Astros and the A's, which just erupted out of nowhere after one of the players charged at the dugout.
Folks, this is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Laureano sprinted toward the dugout, and this is not good, folks. This is exactly what Major League Baseball said you absolutely cannot do. Ramon Laureano didn't like what he was hearing from the dugout, and he started sprinting right at the dugout.
Not a lot of social distancing going on there. I expect there'll be some very heavy fines dished out as well by the MLB in the next day or so regarding that all-in brawl. It's extraordinary scenes. Check it out on our Twitter and Facebook. RSN.net.au has it as well. Let's head now to the other overseas news from overnight. Jimmy Anderson has spoken on the self-belief within the English squad after their fantastic test victory over Pakistan, the second test starting on Thursday in Southampton.
Yeah, it's huge, absolutely huge. Obviously, the first two innings of the game didn't really go as planned, but to show the character we did, firstly to get ourselves back in the game with the ball, and then with the bat, I thought we went about it brilliantly. And obviously, we've been sort of up and down as a test side for the last couple of years, and we're trying to find some consistency and trying to progress as a team. And I think this will do a huge amount for the confidence of the team and both the team and the individuals in it who perform this week. But yeah, it is a big blow for us because he's a big part of our team, both obviously on the field and off it. But obviously, family comes first, and we all rally around him and try and support him as best we can in this tough time for him. We've got two games left to play, and I think we'll be confident with the guys we've got here. We've got a lot of quality in the group, so whoever comes in to replace, I'm sure we'll do a fantastic job.
So Ben Stokes not part of the squad for the remaining test matches. He's back home in New Zealand. So good luck to Ben Stokes and his family, who are obviously going through a pretty tough time at the moment. Just before we head back to the footy, we'll update you on the NBA scores. There's two live games at the moment. The Suns 65 leading the Thunder 64. That's at halftime in that one. Meanwhile, Joe Ingles is in action for the Jazz. They lead the Mavericks 49-43 with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Before we get to the footy, I've got to play you this from yesterday. One of the all-time great serves. Now, Ronnie O'Sullivan has been at the top of his game in the world of snooker in the UK for 25 years. And fair to say he's not too much of a fan of the next generation coming through. Have a listen to what he had to say on the BBC.
Would you have believed all those years ago that you and Mark Williams would still be performing at this high level more than a quarter of a century, after you first appeared on the scene?
Probably if you asked me then, no. But then when you look at the standard of play, then I'd say, yeah, you know, because like I said, you know, even people like me and John and Mark, you know, if you look at the younger players coming through, then they're not that good really, do you know what I mean? And most of them are like, you know, wouldn't even make... They'd probably do well as half-decent amateurs, do you know what I'm saying? Well, not even amateurs, I mean, they're so bad that, you know, a lot of them that you see now, you just think, Kai, I've probably got to lose an arm and a leg to sort of fall outside the top 50, do you know what I mean? So that's really sort of why we're kind of hovering still around, because of the... of just how poor it is down that end, you know?
Ronnie O'Sullivan yesterday. I wish Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal would be as honest as that one day. Good luck to him. I love the honesty in that, in the world of snooker. Ronnie O'Sullivan there, who has been on top of his game for the best part of three decades. Let's head back to the footy. In case you're just waking up, two results last night in the world of AFL. The later result was a 16-point win for Fremantle over Hawthorn. The final score there, the Dockers 7-6-48 to the Hawks 4-8-32. In the earlier game, the Cats 59-point winners over St Kilda. St Kilda 4-10-34 losing to the Cats 14-9-93. Let's hear from Brett Ratten on the loss.
Their experience, and they've played a lot of, they've played a lot of finals footy, and they just back it up each year, and you know, pretty much week in, week out. So, for some of our younger players to get the opportunity to play on some of the greats of the game in Dangerfield and Selwood around the midfield, like I thought Bytel did a reasonable job first game, like 18 possessions, 5 clearances. It was a good introduction to AFL football, and you know, even Max King to play on Harry Taylor and a few others. I think there's some good growth in what they learned from today. But really, at some stages of the game, they just tackled and more fierce around the ball. Like, it was 54 tackles to 38. Like, we didn't really lay a glove on them at times, and they walked through and made us pay.
There we go. Brett Ratten speaking last night. To Alistair Clarkson now, another beaten coach from last night, responding to more questions about the Hawks list.
We've always had the philosophy of not trying to bring too many young fellas into the side all at once. We're slowly bringing guys into the side. You know, Will Day played, I think, his fourth game tonight and acquitted himself well again. Warple's really just a third-year player. Still learning the ropes. Scrimshaw's a young player finding his way at AFL level, and but we've got some lads that have been playing well at the level below, and we need to give those guys an opportunity in the next week or two, and we'll see where it goes from there. But we don't want to make wholesale change to our side, because our philosophy has been that can. They need to play with experienced and mature bodies to help them grow and learn the craft of the game. And there'll be some that say that's not the right philosophy. It's been ours for a long time, and it's worked okay for us. But just at the minute, whilst things aren't going so well, win loss, the philosophy can be challenged, but that's okay.
There we go, Alistair Clarkson speaking after the loss last night. Let's head to John Worsfold here on Dyson Heppel.
Probably not the next couple of weeks, no, but he's ramping up his training volumes now. The work he's been doing in terms of his overall fitness has been at a really high level, as you can imagine. It's really just running volumes now for him. So he's starting from a fairly low base in that regard, but he will progress fairly quickly. But, I can't tell you whether we're looking at 3 weeks or 6 weeks. It's a bit of an unknown at the moment, but he's progressing really well, and I think it'll be hopefully really quick.
So Dyson Heppel, still a chance to play this season. Let's head to Stephen Cornelio now. He spoke about the fitness of Phil Davis.
Yeah, I think he can play. We're going to give him sort of every chance to do that. I know he obviously very, you know, tender and sore post the game, and again, what we expect of him is, unfortunately, or fortunate at the same time, throughout his career for us, he's had a few incidents or injuries where he's had to play out the rest of the game for you know, sacrificed himself in a way for the team. And I thought, you know, he did that tremendously well in the second half in an unfamiliar position for him. But very sore, obviously, post-game, but progressing quite well. And we'll give him every chance to play on Thursday.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. Plenty to come with the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock. Racing Pulse at 8.30 and RSN Central from 10.30. Keep it locked on RSN all throughout the morning while you're at home. We'll chat again tomorrow.